Welcome to the Spirit Connection Podcast. We want to share a clip from one of our monthly mentoring sessions. These Zoom meetings are a great place to receive impartation, get encouraged, and meet believers from all around the world. Our powerful guest speakers will pray and prophesy over you, and you'll receive keys to your destiny and calling. Chains are falling off, and many are going on to the next level. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Oh, it's such a great question. Well, there's two things about this. And one thing is, like, if you had a prophetic word that involved a church you were involved in, you're no longer involved in, or maybe you're married and your husband or wife passed away or whatever it is, and you go, can this ever happen now? Because it felt like it was linked to somebody, or it was linked to maybe a covenant relationship, or it was linked to a purpose. God can always recreate it, and he will recreate it to the full capacity as if it was never needing to be recreated. That's what redemption is. Restoration means he'll restore you to the point of what was lost. Redemption means he'll restore you in a way that even though he may not be able to restore the exact circumstance, you will feel complete again. And I feel it's the same with, and we know that biblically for restoration, redemption, but I feel the same with prophetic words, that sometimes we feel like, is there any way for this to happen? And we read those stories like, you know, Sarah giving birth or Elizabeth giving birth. And it's like, okay, so prophetic promises can happen even if we feel old, you know, but there's certain things that maybe God was inviting you into when you're 20, and he was like saying, pursue music. And it would have made a big difference then for your calling. And now if you pursue music, it's not going to maybe arrive at the same external fruit as it would have when you were in your 20s. So there are some times where certain things that God was inviting us into that aren't necessarily like, that we might have missed, aren't necessarily what he'll bring us back into, but he'll still give us the same impact or fulfillment that John 10:10 that we desire and we long for through whatever else he calls us into. Because it doesn't really matter. I think it doesn't matter what we end up doing with God. We'll just so enjoy him in it if we do it for him and with him. But I do think we can miss out on those invitations by not stepping. And just like if you're singing a song and it's your turn to sing and you don't sing it, and if the whole song has to come all the way back around for you to sing it again, and it's messy sometimes, or they have to start the song over or whatever. I feel like there's times in life that are like that, but God will bring either a restoration, which means he'll bring the song around, or redemption. It's like a new song that, you know, you get to start in this season. And I've seen a lot of people in this season who felt like they were kind of passed over, like it was too late or things weren't going to happen for them, especially for marriage. We've been seeing so many older single people get married right now. It's just been awesome. One of the greatest testimonies I keep hearing over and over and over probably every week, a couple people will tell us from the greater body of Christ that we're connected to that they met their person. Because I had a word about singleness a couple years ago, and we still just get to hear words all the time. People who felt like they would never have a family. One of my favorite stories recently was a woman who's like, I just thought because I'm 50, I'm going through, you know, kind of perimenopause, premenopause stuff, I'm never going to have children of my own. And I had all these promises about family and children. I thought it was never going to happen. And then she married this man whose wife had passed away. And his whole family and their kids, like the kids and the grandkids, embraced her, just knew it was a God thing. And she's 2 years or a year and a half into it and was like, I inherited as if I birthed this. That's how much they love me. I didn't even know how to love them that much. They just loved me this much. And it's so easy. And it's like the greatest thing, you know, could ever happen for me. So we're just seeing some incredible promises that are being fulfilled in ways that maybe weren't how you would ever want it to be fulfilled, but it's being fulfilled in a greater way than you could have imagined it. Ephesians 3:20. Yeah, I think two things. One is like to really sanctify your desires, because sometimes we're going to imagine what we think the Lord wants as intercessors and just go, okay, this is it. Like, especially when it's black and white justice, it's like God wants these kinds of people in jail, or God wants this kind of, you know, children at risk to be saved. God wants these kinds of things. And so then we have an expectation of how that should happen. And we have to really surrender our expectations in our lifetime to go, God, you're going to do this in a way that I couldn't imagine, and you're a father and you care about this more than I do. And so when I'm not seeing any movement forward or any measure forward, and I can't find it, like for me, I pray about human trafficking, and I've been on an assignment intercessorily for 22 years, 25 years on against human trafficking before it was popular, before people cared about it, you know? So like I'd connect any ministry I ever found who cared about it and ask them, go on trips with them. I went to Thailand. I went to South America to like learn awareness. We were the church in LA that trained people with the local FBI on how to do anti-human trafficking. But I mean, I haven't seen, 320,000 kids this year were trafficked. 320,000 kids under the current administration were trafficked after we got all these laws in place and all this good stuff happened. And so my heart just was like, how did this happen? Like, God, it's not on my watch, but really it's your watch. So like, what do you want to do in this situation? So there's sometimes we get question marks where we don't see the result or we don't hear God what he wants to do. We just know he wants to end trafficking. But then we see trafficking in our minds is increasing, but probably what's happening is it is increasing a little bit, but also we're becoming more and more aware as we go. And that awareness can bring hope deferred. But at the same time, when the rest of your life is balanced, and not just your intercessory life, but is balanced in, I believe God's moving. I believe he's, you know, you have the other areas, not just your cause areas, but the other areas you're seeing the move of God, and you borrow faith from those areas to apply it to your intercession. And if it feels like all of your life's heavy, then it's a good time to get some, maybe some mentoring, counseling, go to a different church that has more health for you or life for you, go to a new home group in your church, whatever it is, to get around things that are encouraging. So if you're not around a lot of encouraging things, intercession gets heavier and heavier. But if you're around a lot of encouraging things, you could borrow that encouragement into your intercessory life, because intercession is literally the Father giving you the burden that he has for his son and the reward of his son to be made known to his son. And so he shows you things that none of us want to look at. Jesus never looks away from any act of injustice. He shows them to you. And if you can't stay encouraged, if you can't cast that burden back on him, you're doing it wrong. And when I say that, I don't mean that in a negative way, like to shame you. I mean, in a way that's saying there's a higher way to do it. So I think just focusing on life and just going, okay, how can I cast my cares upon God? And how do I not build expectations of what I want in this as the primary expectations, but actually give God, like one of the fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. Allow this to take time, even if I hate that, but allow God to take the time he needs to do it his way. And that's one of my least favorite things. I'm not patient. And I'm not very low. I'm long suffering by virtue of him, not by virtue of me. Yeah. I'm not a big war. I mean, that terminology, I like it, but I'm not a big war for your prophetic word kind of guy. I do think that there's, maybe you're saying the same thing I would say though, which is like, there has to be intentional steps of stewardship with prophetic words. Some things God's going to do sovereignly, because before time began, he planned you. And if you're in any agreement with him, he's so good that no matter how dumb you are, he's going to make it happen for you. I said about myself, you know, like I'm so ignorant sometimes that he's just so good to make things happen anyways, even if I didn't know how to directly say, yes, God, make this happen. I mean, he's so good. He's such a good father. But I do think when he speaks things to us, it's because he's trying to develop the character and the life and the love inside of us to be able to steward those things well. That's why he gives us hints, or he gives us cheat sheets in advance. And so I think that at that space, like when God spoke to me about moving to LA, I was 15 and I didn't move there until 2006. So from 1988 until 2006, I lived other places, and God spoke to me about what he wanted to do in LA. And he spoke to me about what he wanted to do in my lifetime in the entertainment industry. And so part of me was I was being intentional with that word. So I knew when I was 15, I was supposed to move to LA eventually. I wanted to make it happen early. I knew to stay in step with God, but I would go out to LA and visit. And so I'd go out once a year. It's my vacation spot, and just spend time and just do prayer walks and also fun stuff. And I'd take any invitation I had out to LA for the churches to minister to, that kind of thing. So you might have a prophetic promise over a book you're supposed to write, or over a people group you're supposed to reach, or over a city you're supposed to impact, or over a political office you're going to hold, or over money you're supposed to have. And you take whatever steps you can and baby steps out of faith, and to learn about it, to educate yourself, and then actual steps towards it, and see if God multiplies it or if he pulls you back. And I think it's just good if he's not telling you no to do something. You know, I don't think we have to always wait as long as we think we do. But I did wait, you know, I don't, was that 15 years? I can't do math. Before I moved to LA. And then I was there for 17, we just moved out of LA to Dallas, but I'm still working in LA with the entertainment stuff. But I just moved out of LA, and I felt like I just started right when I was moving out. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm finally here for what I'm called to. And then I moved. I'm still doing it, but it's just different. So I think we just, whatever you can do to partner. I have a really good class. It's a class that's called Your Prophetic Journey, and it's all about stewarding your prophetic words. I think it's the best class because it's so practical on stewarding prophetic words that you have for your own destiny if you want to get it.